Bailey, and I want to welcome you to the Windsor Vineyard Church. Thank you for joining us for our virtual Sunday. Wherever you are, we're excited to be worshiping with you and your family. We would love to hear from you. Please fill out a connect card at wv.church. Here you can share your prayer requests, your God stories. It's a great way to stay in touch. We look forward to hearing from you. We also want you to check out our website at windsorvineyard.church. Here we'll have updates, weekly teaching, as well as a special Vineyard Kids page with videos every week. If you regularly give as a part of your worship, we want to thank you for giving faithfully and ask that you use our online giving platform. You can do this by clicking the Give tab on our website or clicking Give while filling out your Connect card. Thanks again for joining us and being a part of our Vineyard family.
Good morning. Welcome to virtual church, wherever you're tuning in from. Thank you for joining us. My name's Jack. I'm the lead pastor here, and we are so glad you joined us this morning. I do want to say before I forget, and I put it in my notes so I wouldn't forget, happy birthday to my amazing wife. She is 32 today, and okay, I've already told a lie in church, but a big happy birthday to Wendy. There's a little picture going around on Facebook and social media that you may have seen, and for some reason, this just cracks her up. Every time she sees it, she just starts laughing, and it's this little dog, and he says, "Every time I feel a tingle in my throat, is that you, Rona?" And I think we're all feeling that a little bit, aren't we? You know, wondering, do I have it? Where do I get tested? Which, you know, it's just crazy. Crazy times. I do want to invite you and challenge you to something. We had a member in our church, and for a few nights in a row, he woke up in the middle of the night, and he feels like we're supposed to fast on Mondays through this whole time as a church. So I just want to invite you into that. I think I'm going to do that, and so let's do that. Let's fast and pray on Mondays during this time and see if God won't do something special. Well, today I want to deviate from our series of in Acts. You know, we've been in Acts for a few weeks, but just with everything that's going on, I've just been thinking about some things that I feel like I want to say to you as our church family. And I'm calling our talk today, We Are Not. If you're into titles and you're taking notes, we are not. You know, if you look around, things can look a little bleak, right? I mean, if you don't stop watching the news and you kind of get, you know, sucked into all of the negative, restaurants closing this week in Colorado, sporting events being canceled. I mean, I'm watching old golf reruns when Tiger Woods is still young and, you know, as everything works, thousands of people being let go from work, these runs on toilet paper, you know, schools shutting down. Everything bad seems to be in red, too. Big red letters. Have you noticed that? It's all in red. All the bad stuff. The virus stats, the stock market dropping, all these things. Border closings, travel bans. We're all experiencing things that we've never experienced before. And for me personally, it's been extremely hard to close our in-person gatherings. I miss you guys. I miss the body and getting together, and I worry about you guys, and I worry about your families, and I worry about your situation. And I worry about the side effects of isolation, because we all know we were created for community. Even as introverts, we know that, and some of you have seen the slide going around that says, hey, you know, introverts, go help your extrovert friends. They're not okay right now, you know, because they're in isolation. Many of you, some of our seniors, you feel very alone right now, and so I think about that, and I pray for you, and I worry about that. And even with everything that's going on, There's something at the core of my being. There's something at the core of my spirit that whispers, it will be okay. This too will pass. We're going to come through this. We're going to come out of this on the other side. And I can only believe that that's the voice of the Holy Spirit. The whisper, God is still in control, and do not be afraid. And so, like many of you, I go kind of in and out of that. One day full of faith and believing that God is in control. And then other times, you know, our mind just starts to race as we look around. And it can be a bit overwhelming. So what is our response? As followers of Jesus, as the church, we find ourselves today in uncharted waters. Are we going to ignore it and just act like it's okay and, you know, have a great day and have great faith and kind of go there? Are we going to stockpile beans and rice and toilet paper and lock ourselves in our houses for the next who knows how long? What's our response? What would honor God? I want to talk about our perspective as followers of Jesus, our perspective as people of faith, our perspective as the church. And you know, as followers of Jesus, the filter that informs our responses is very different than the filter that informs the world and people who live without Jesus. The lens through which we see things is not the same as the lens of the world. It's kind of like getting fitted for glasses. I don't know if you've done that before. You guys probably all have perfect eyes out there, but if you find yourself in a chair of the optometrist and she's saying one or two, which is clearer, one or two, one or two, I just get locked up in that moment. Pretty soon I just start guessing, so she'll stop, you know, two, one, two, you know. I finally got LASIK, so I wouldn't have to deal with that, but we see life and we respond based on the lens that we look at life and our circumstances through. And when the lens is correct, I can see so clearly. I remember the first time I realized I needed glasses. I was in high school, and I was just fiddling around with a friend's new set of glasses, and I put them on, and I looked across the street at a sign, and I was like, oh, wow, you can read that sign. You're supposed to be able to read that sign. I didn't know that. So I immediately went and got glasses. But just because you don't see something doesn't mean it's not there, you know? I mean, I'd been living my own reality, but it wasn't real. And so I think a lot of us during this time, we start to see things through maybe an improper lens. And I want to try to bring some perspective today. You know, as followers of Jesus who are empowered by the Holy Spirit, we should see things differently. And I suspect our true identity has maybe gotten a little bit lost in translation. And maybe we've lost our way just a little bit. I know I have at times. So I want to spend some time looking at who we are not. Who we are not. Romans 12, the Bible tells us, speaking of this word not, that we should not be conformed to the image of this world, but rather we should be transformed by the renewing of our minds so that we can test and approve God's will, his good, his pleasing, his perfect will. We are not of this world. We are not like everyone else. We've been transferred to a different kingdom. We've been transferred from the kingdom of darkness as followers of Jesus into the kingdom of God. And so we're not normal. Turn to the person you're with today and say, you're not normal. Yeah, we're not normal. We're not supposed to be normal. We're not supposed to be like everyone else. Our friend Dave Ramsey, the financial planner, he says, don't be normal. Normal is boring when it comes to your finances. I want to show three ways today that we are not normal, what we are not. Jesus said in John 14, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." So number one, we live by faith. We live by faith, not by fear. Write that down. We live by faith, not by fear. Later in verses 26 and 27, I think they'll be on the screen next to me. It says, Jesus says, "But the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." During this time, I need to be reminded. Who does the reminding? The Holy Spirit, the advocate. He reminds me of who I am in times of crisis. He reminds me of who I am in times of panic. He reminds me of who I am when I get fearful. Verse 27, he goes on to say, "Peace I leave with you." Could anyone use a little bit of peace right now? "Peace I leave with you. Peace I give you. I do not give it to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." So we're not afraid. We're not living in fear, and we have this peace. If you find yourself just completely living in fear right now, gripped by it, anxious all the time, you know, you haven't slept in weeks, afraid of what's going to happen next, Jesus gave us a gift, the gift of peace. And he says we do not have to live a life of fear. And this peace that he gives is not the kind of peace the world has. The world, he says, doesn't understand it. They're not able to give you this kind of peace. You're not going to get it from other places. It comes from his kingdom. So we live by faith, not by fear. In the New Living Translation, it says, "I'm leaving you with a gift." Anybody like gifts? I think we all like gifts, you know? Even bad gifts, you know? You can at least re-gift them or take them back or something like that. So we all love gifts. And we should receive this gift today. We should open it up. We should use this gift of peace. We don't need to live in fear. Our Father in heaven has given us a gift of peace of mind and peace of heart. When everyone else lives in fear, we open up the gift that our Father has given us. It's a peace that only comes from heaven. It's supernatural. It's not normal. And when we forget, the Holy Spirit reminds us, the advocate reminds us of what we have in Christ. I think there might be a prayer in there if you're taking notes. Holy Spirit, remind me of my gift of peace that Jesus gave me. Jesus says, "The peace I give you is a gift the world cannot give, so don't be troubled or afraid." And I think we're looking for peace in places that it's not. We're trying to look to our financial advisor and our favorite news station. It's definitely not in the statistics right now. The government, I don't know how much peace we can gain from that. A stimulus package, I don't know if that's really going to put us over the top when it comes to peace, the kind of peace that we really need right now. I think we might be looking for peace in all the wrong places. And I hope you understand that God is not just sitting in heaven, you know, thinking, "How did I miss this virus? How did this happen? I mean, I was a little distracted by the U.S. election and the whole Tom Brady thing, you know, wondering where he was going to go. And then this virus snuck up on the world and I just kind of missed it. I mean, it's just now all out of control, and I'm throwing my hands up going, what are we going to do?" God is not panicked. God is not taken back. He's not surprised by any of this. He's not afraid. He's always faithful. He's always in control. He's always good. He always has a plan. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. He's working in all things, everywhere, every day. He cares about you. He sees you. He hears your prayer. He knows your toilet paper situation. So you don't need to panic. Whatever you're going through, God knows about it, and he's working for good. As followers of Jesus, we are not normal. We do not live by fear. We live by faith. Paul said in 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power and of love and of self-discipline. So we're not panicking. We have peace from heaven, supernatural peace. We're not fearful. We live by faith. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:7, I don't know how much clearer you can say this. We live by faith, not by sight. Not by everything we see around us. Not by the statistics. We live by faith, not by sight. That's who we are. So how do we respond when the world feels like it's just falling apart? Well, we don't respond like everyone else. We're not like everyone else because we're not normal. So number one, we live by faith, not by fear. Number two, we are sacrificial. We are sacrificial, not selfish. If you're taking notes, write that down. We are sacrificial, not selfish. Now, technically, okay, I'll give you this. We are selfish. We kind of come out that way, right? We were born that way. How many of you have a two-year-old or younger? Yeah, you know. You don't have to give them selfish lessons. They just come out that way, don't they? very selfish. You know, they don't wake up one day and say, Mom, how are you doing today? Let's make today about you. It just doesn't work that way. We kind of come out selfish. But our human fallen nature, although it is very selfish, we have a redeemed nature as followers of Jesus because of who Jesus is and what he's done. And when we are not selfish, we reflect his nature. We reflect who he was. Jesus was the most unselfish person to ever walk the planet. The most sacrificial, unselfish love story in history was the life of Jesus, and he dwells in us. We reflect him. So as followers of Jesus, we're not selfish. We're sacrificial in what we do. And this is a time like no other to live that out. Paul said in Philippians 2:3, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Not looking to your own interests, but to each of you to the interest of others. What does Paul tell us there? Did he say, go freak out and hoard supplies? You know? Look out for number one. He didn't say that. He said, don't only look out for your own interests, but for the interests of others. That's our way. That's the Jesus way. That's the not normal way. I saw that King Supers is now opening a time up in the mornings. I don't know how long it is, an hour or so, for seniors to shop. I love that. That's sacrificial. That's putting someone ahead of yourself in a real practical way. It's the Jesus way. And what I hope you'll understand is that in the next few months or weeks, we're going to have more opportunities to show the love of Jesus than maybe any other time in our lifetime. To show the generosity of Jesus in his name. You know, you may find out, or the Holy Spirit might show you that you have been blessed in ways that you can bless somebody else. Maybe you have a little extra of something that you can share with somebody else. And not only material things, you can give hope. in companionship, and just a listening ear. And you can speak truth into people's lives when they're just completely gripped and only hearing fear. And they're paralyzed by it. There's a lot that we can do to show the love of Christ during this time. You know, we have a saying around here at the Vineyard, "Can I pray for you right now?" This is a great tool in your toolbox during this time. Can I pray for you right now? I mean, just the core of it and the essence of it puts other people above yourself, doesn't it? Can I pray for you right now? We need to practice that, especially during this time. You know, the Acts 2 church that we've been studying for the past few weeks, during great persecution, people are being killed and put in prison for following Jesus. Families are being displaced. People are losing their jobs. People have to move away. They have to move out of Jerusalem after the death of Stephen. I mean, it's a crazy time for them. It's uncharted waters. Does it sound a little bit familiar? And how do they respond? It says every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. That being publicly. Now, we can't do that right now, but we can find other ways to do that. And it said they broke bread in their homes and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts. So they met publicly, they met privately. They stayed together during this time. Now, we might not be able to meet together in person right now, but we can get creative. You know, go on a walk with someone. Stay 6 feet apart, keep that social distance. Ride bikes. Have a video conference with your small group. Have a video conference prayer time with a few people. Let's use this technology that we all have. You can join us for virtual church like you're doing right now. What else did they do in the early church under heavy persecution? Well, they shared their stuff. They didn't hoard their stuff. They shared their stuff. Some of them that had a lot of stuff sold their stuff so that they could give it to other people and help them out. You know, I mean, they shared their toilet paper, I guess. That's probably how that would translate today. And their rice and their beans. With everyone who had need, it says. They weren't tight-fisted. They were open-handed. That's not normal. Normal, look around, is hoarding. Normal is taking care of me. Normal is giving up and living in fear rather than faith. Normal is running from God. Not normal is leaning into God. Hey, I got more time on my hands. I'm kind of stuck in my house. I'm going to pray more. I'm going to read my Bible more. I'm going to worship even more. That's what the Apostle Paul did when he got thrown in prison. He started worshiping God. Worshiping God. Maybe that's a little bit of a picture or a pattern of how we should respond during these unsettling times. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes, ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. What do they have to praise God about? They're being killed and persecuted and scattered. And look what happened. Look what happened. The Lord added to daily those who were being saved. I suspect that that's what's going to happen. If we will dare to not be normal, if we will dare to be the church and step up during this time, I believe that God will use this time of difficulty to draw people to themselves. Because everyone's looking for hope. Just some kind of hope and some peace. And they're going to look at us and they're going to be drawn to what we have. They're going to see that we live by faith and not by fear. And they're going to scratch their head and go, how come you're so calm? How do I get a little bit of that in my life? And they're going to look at us and see that we're sacrificial and not selfish, and wonder, okay, how can you do that right now? How are you able to do that? Number three of the knots is we shine light. We do not hide it. We shine light. We do not hide it. Jesus said in Matthew 5:14, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. Say that to yourself. I am the light of the world. Jesus said so. I'm the light of the world. Right now, the world's fumbling around in darkness. And you are the light. You have Jesus in you. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others. Why? Here it is. Don't miss this. That they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Vineyard Church, there's your assignment. It's right there. Let your light shine before others. Let them see your good deeds. That means you got to be doing some good deeds. You got to be thinking about others and not just your own situation. And in doing so, you'll glorify your Father in heaven. You are a light. We let it shine. We don't hide it. Unfortunately, during this time, you know, there will be so many people who feel unsettled and unsure and anxious. They're looking for hope. They're wondering, does anyone have hope? And the good news is you're a bunch of not normal, faith-filled hope peddlers. You have the answer. You have peace living inside of you. You are light shiners. You're like that flashlight app on your phone, but you got to turn it on. You are generosity in real time. You know, this virus, it might be contagious, but what we have is even more contagious. What you have in you is even more contagious. What you have has been around for a long time. And people have tried to kill it. They've tried to stop the curve. But it just keeps spreading. Because it's the kingdom of God. And that's what you have. And it just won't go away. As followers of Jesus, that contagious love lives inside you. So be contagious. Let your light shine. Whenever circumstances grow darker, the light of Jesus always shines brighter. That's who we are. That's our response to all that's going on. We do not live by fear. We live by faith. We are sacrificial, not selfish. And we shine light. We do not hide it. I want to pray for you right now. I'm going to invite the band to come back up. Father, I thank you for your church. I thank you that none of this surprises you. I thank you that you are completely and totally in control. I thank you that you love us. You see our situation. And that even in all of this, you are drawing your kids to you. So will you use us as hope peddlers to shine light where there's darkness, to bring hope where there's only fear. I thank you in advance for what you're already going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
the sea to still, the rage in me to still, every wave. At your name, Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus, you silence fear. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus, we call these bones to live, call these lungs to sing once again. I will praise Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus, you silence fear. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus, your name is a light that the shadows can't deny. Your name
say that we trust you. God, help us to trust you. We say that we trust you. We're asking that you would help us to trust you. God, fill us with faith. God, we pray against fear, and we ask that you would fill those spaces that we've been afraid, that you would fill those with faith and courage. God, that we would draw near to you. God, I ask that every single person that is watching this right now, God, that you would fill their homes with your spirit. God, fill their homes with your peace. God, that you would give them good rest at night. That they would rest in the shadow of the Almighty. God, hide us in the shadow of your wings.
I will not fear.
Stop this virus. We call on your name to heal your people. Jesus, there's power in your name, Jesus. There's power in your name, Jesus. Guys, get a second, maybe sometime today, look up the story behind this song, Raise a Hallelujah. It was written out of some incredible, incredible heartbreak. I think it's just important that we just continue to declare the name of Jesus and declare his greatness in the middle of all the chaos, that we continue to raise his name, to lift his banner high, and to glorify him.
Raise a hallelujah.
in the presence of my enemies. Raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. Raise a
the middle of the storm.
is a
joy that you bring. So now my hands are up higher. You send
don't forget to celebrate.
Thank you, guys. Hey, before we let you go, I want to take a moment and just lead you in communion. The beauty of virtual church is you can right now press pause and go and get your elements, some bread, some cracker, something like that, and come back and join us. So go ahead and do that right now. You know, when Jesus, he was with the guys, and they broke bread at the Last Supper, and he said about the bread, he said, "This is my body, take and eat." And the main thing was that we remember his broken body, that we remember what he did, that we never forget what he did on the cross. And so, Father, thank you for your broken body and the sacrifice that you made. And we want to always remember that sacrifice. That sacrifice that brings us into right standing with the Father. Even with all of our ickiness, we can be in the presence of a holy Father. Let's take the bread. The other thing that Jesus prayed was that the fruit of the vine would represent his blood. And he shed a lot of blood that day and the days before through the beatings and a crown on his, thorns on his head and when they pierced his side. And so, Jesus, we thank you for your blood that was shed. Your blood that washes us clean, that covers us, that covers everything we've ever done that what you call sin, and everything that we will ever do that goes against you, God. So let's take the fruit and drink. I hope you guys all just have an amazing week. I hope that you see the work that God is already up to. And please send us those God stories. They're so encouraging. Thanks for joining us today.